And so today we're going to talk about the completed work in you. You know, there's a lot of people that's looking and judging other Christians and trying to tell them what they should be doing. You should be doing this, you should be doing that, and you should be doing that. And you know what? God's working in you. It's not my perception or somebody else's perception of telling you what you should be doing for God and how you should walk. You know, a lot of people says you should be a prophet, you should be a teacher, you should be a preacher. But the point is, what has God called you to do? What has God called you to do? And that's where we need to walk in it. Philippians chapter 1, 3 through 6. Paul writes, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. How many remembrances? Every remembrance of you. When we're praying and we think of each other and think of other people that in our lives, when those names and those people come to us, do we thank God for those people being in our lives? We should. And Paul's saying this to here. And always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy, making requests for you and for what God wants in you, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And here's the most important part in verse 6, being confident of this very thing. What is the very thing he's talking about? He that began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. He's going to finish the work in you. And the only one that can stop that is if you get off the track. But the thing is, he's always pushing you back on track. How many times have you gotten off a track when you're walking with God and then God puts some circumstance into you and throws you back into there? And thank God for those times. But, you know, so many times some people don't want to get back on track because they have the love for this world. Romans 1, 3 through 6, we're talking about walking in your calling a little bit. It's not always that easy. It says, concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of dead. Is that power, resurrecting the dead? Do you think he has the power to be able to change your life? I think he does. By whom we receive grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations. And this word, part of it is we need to obey. Lots of times we don't like to hear that word, but the scripture says, for his name, not for your own name, not for your own glory. It says, for obedience to faith among all nations, for his name. We're not obeying just to make ourselves look good. We're obeying because we love God, we want to please God, and for his name's sake. If you go out and you work for a certain company, and they send you on something, some type of task or job, guess what? You're working on their behalf. And what you do, what you say in your meetings, your talks with other people, represents that company. And that's the same way with us. As we say and we stand on our stand saying that we are Christians and that Yeshua or Jesus is our Lord, and people look at your lives and say, well, hey, guess what? That doesn't look like a Christian to me, not from what I understand. People that don't even know or read the Bible can usually know the difference between right and wrong. But see, some people are not in the finished work. They're not finished. They're being changed little bit by little bit, precept on precept, glory to glory. And so we got to let God work in us. And you've seen that sticker that sits there says, Christians aren't perfect. Just forgiven? Well, no, we're not perfect, and we're not just forgiven. We're being worked on. We're being worked on. Acts 5, 30-32. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you have slew and hanged on a tree. Now, he is talking to Israel at the time. So this is Peter's first preaching. Him hath God exalted with at the right hand to be Prince and Savior to give repentance for Israel. See, everybody says, well, Israel killed the Messiah, so Israel's been replaced. But Peter's sermon here saying, no, he's done this for Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witness of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, who has been given to them that obey him. And this is where we're going to go a little bit about the anointing in your life, the call in your life, and the work and the process to the completed work. And I'm going to use David as an example. King David, before he was king, you know, he wasn't just born king just like that and was perfect. He had to go through some trials. He had to go through things that most people don't realize that he's went through, because people always read about his kingdomship and how he became the seed which Messiah would come from. But there's more to that. Why did Israel have a king in the first place? It's because they rejected God as being their king. Israel wanted to be just like every other nation. As a Christian, when you give your heart to Christ, you're like, oh God, but I can't enjoy these same things I used to do. I can't do the same things I did before in the past. But the thing is, have you really been born again? Tim's message, do you believe? Do you really believe? And so when we're looking at this, have you really given your heart to Christ? Things may not go always the way you want them to, but there's a plan in everything. So they rejected God as their king and wanted to be like every other nations. Christians, lots of times, like, well, you know, I used to be able to do that in the world. I used to be able to do that. And sometimes the devil's trying to bring them back into the world. And, you know, that's not where God wants you. He's got a better call for you. He's got a better plan for your lives. And that's what's most important, is that to get on his plan and the enemy's plan. So when they screamed at, the first thing is Samuel. Anybody know who Samuel is? Samuel was the prophet that not one word of his fell to the ground. How would you like to know that there was a prophet that not one word fell to the ground? Guess what? Every word of God, every word in the scriptures that Yeshua spoke will not fall to the ground. Those words are important, and they should be part of our lives. Him and his word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Him and his word are the same, and it's that important that we need to realize that if we want to know God, we need to know his word. And so Samuel was not happy about it, but God relented to Samuel. He says, listen to the people, hearken unto the people. He sits there and says, and give them a king. But tell them what type of king they were going to have. And the type of king they were going to have was one that was going to take their men servants and maid servants, put them in their armies, their cookeries, just like Washington, D.C. You see all the people they have working for them? You're going to be working for the government. You lose your freedom of being able to have your own. They're going to take part of your land. They're going to tax you. Sound like it, what we have today? Exactly the same thing. They're going to put your men in the military. They're going to draft you when you need to. They're going to do a lot. The king's not the way. When God was your king, you follow him. But now you're going to follow a king. But God said, I want a man in there that's going to follow. So follow me. And so the first thing that the king was supposed to do was write his own copy of the Torah. So there is no excuse whatsoever to say, I don't know what was in that book. Of course, we don't have governments that do that anymore. So they don't know what's in this book. And they'll say they're a Christian, but they do unchristian-like things. They'll sit there and say they're a man of God. And that, but you know what? Lots of times it's in name only. And so to get you to David, I want to tell you some things about how Saul lost his kingdom. Saul, after being anointed king, he was anointed by Samuel and kissed by Samuel. Saul made some grievous sins. That's not saying that David was perfect in his life. As you, when you read the scriptures, you know that he wasn't either. But Saul ended up doing a few things that God told him directly not to do. And one of the things is he started to try to do somebody else's job. The Philistines were gathering together. He gathered the people of Israel to fight against the Philistines at one time. There was a burnt offering, and they can't fight until the burnt offering has been offered to the Lord. He took the fire himself and he offered the burnt offering. That was only the priest's job. That was not his job. Here comes Samuel. What is this you've done? Faces him down. You know, the same thing. Oh, I was worried about the Philistines. Don't you think we should obey better than the sacrifice? Obey God's word is better than sacrifice. And you find this again when he actually comes against the Amalekites. God gives them a great victory over the Amalekites. And you can find this in 1 Samuel 15. And he, after this battle, God told him when they faced the Amalekites that they were to utterly destroy all of them, not take any of their possessions or anything. Samuel comes up. What's this bleeding or crying of the sheep I hear in the background? Oh, I know what it is. We saved the best to sacrifice to God. Oh, what an excuse. His hand was caught in the cookie jar again. And then he didn't kill King Agag. Oh, it may seem a merciful thing not to kill the king. But, you know, there were seven nations that God told him to utterly destroy, or there will be a yoke around your neck trying to choke you out. And that was one of them. And he said, I have hearkened unto the people and not unto God. And that's what he did. And he said, he asked Samuel to forgive him. Sounds like an honorable thing. But the thing is, there's a difference from saying the words and having them in your heart. So Samuel rinses his mantle and says, as this mantle is divided, so will this kingdom be taken away from you. And so Samuel ends up going to his own place. And you can find this in 1 Samuel chapter 16, starting from verse 1. And it says, God comes up to Samuel, says, how long will you mourn for Saul? For I have rejected him. Fill your horn with oil and go, for I have prepared among the sons of Jesse a king. He just took the kingdom from him, and he says, I've already prepared me a man. And so Samuel, not refusing God, was a little weary about that, because what will happen when Saul finds out? He says, just tell him you're going to the sacrifice. So guess where they go? Over to Bethlehem. You know who was born in Bethlehem? The Messiah, definitely. The house of bread. So he goes over there, and he calls the family of Jesse to this offering, and he has him brings his sons before him. And his sons he sees the first son, Eliab. Eliab comes up to him, and he looks at him. He says, and this is the prophet. He says, surely this must be God's anointed. Surely. And God says, don't look at his countenance, how good he looks, nor his stature, how big he looks, for I have refused him. And he says, the Lord does not see as man seeth, but the Lord looks on the heart. That's the difference from David and Saul. It was the repentance. David blew it so many times, you can't even count them. But you know what? When he got on his knees, he repented. He was known as a man after God's own heart. And David was never perfect. And you may never be perfect in this world. But God had a plan for his life as he does for yours. And sometimes it doesn't seem that sweet. It doesn't seem as we're being prepared that everything's working the way we want it to work. But God doesn't see the molded work. He's looking at the finished work. A person that's a potter is looking to, already has in mind what that piece is going to come out like. And God already knows how you're going to come through this if you continue. Now to go a little further here, it talks about basically all his sons came before him. He's rejected them all. And he says, hey, have you any more sons? Jesse says, yeah, I got the run of the litter. He's over there taking care of the sheep. Preparation. He's been preparing him as king all this time, and he didn't even know it. Do you think David knew when he was taking care of the sheep that he was going to be king of Israel? No. Do you know how old they said he was at that time? Probably around 15. 15 years old. He comes up and the Lord tells Samuel, this is he, anoint him. And he anoints him and he kisses him and he goes his way. I'm not even sure he even knew he was going to be king at the time after he was anointed. I'm sure that if everybody else found out that he was anointed, that Saul would have came right after him right then. But you see this same type of scenario that you see with Yeshua, Jesus, as well as with David. You see that David had problem with his brothers. Didn't Yeshua have problems with his brothers as well? If you're the anointed, you should do this. And when he came up against Goliath, they started to say, we know what mischief you are to come up to see what's in the battle. It seems like the youngest one, the one that is the weakest, is what God uses. The one that is serving. So God's preparing him. He prepared him as he was a servant of his father, feeding the flock. And before he went to fight against Goliath, and this is not a David and Goliath story, it said specifically that he talked to Saul and says, as I was watching the flock, I've had a bear, I ran into a lion, and I sit there and I took care of my sheep. And this Goliath, this giant, will be not like one of those same beasts. He protected the sheep. He learned how to protect the sheep. And sometimes before people start shepherding others, they need to learn to go on a smaller flock before the big flock. But God has a plan for us all. So after this, it says, as soon as he anointed him, and if you follow me in the scriptures, it's verse 6. Let's see, where am I at? Verse 4, I'm looking for 5. I don't see it here. I don't see it. I don't have it here. But what it says there in the scriptures, it says, as soon as he anointed him, that the Spirit became to come up on David from that time forward. David wasn't alone. But the next verse says that the Spirit departed from Saul. Saul's a little frustrated. Not only that, an evil spirit from God was sent to vex Saul. Uh-oh. What is Saul to do? Well, looking at God's plan, not man's plan, the people around Saul says, you need to find somebody that's cunning and playing, that when he plays, he will actually soothe this and that evil spirit will leave you. Who did they hire for that? A little shepherd boy that's been playing music while he's feeding the sheep. He's preparing him. Now he's putting him right in front of the king. He's now learning all the things that the king does. And later on, he becomes his armor bearer. Do you know what an armor bearer does? When they go to war, he's the one that carries the armor. He's the one that will actually fight along to the guy that's his master. Jonathan and his armor bearer fought against the Philistines, a garrison of Philistines, and destroyed 20 of them. Both of them fought before Goliath. He was already fighting, even though he was not old enough to be in the army. David was not old enough. You had to be 20 years old to be in the army. And so when he fought Goliath, he wasn't in the army because he wasn't old enough. But he knew how to fight because he's been fighting along Saul all this time. He was already a warrior at that time. No, he wasn't using the spear and Saul's armor, which was so heavy. But he knew how to fight. Do you think that's the reason why Saul says, yeah, let him go? Yeah, I know he can fight. I know that this guy's been a warrior since his youth, and you are still a youth, is what he says. But he prepared him for that time. He was ready. He was ready. Then after he defeated Goliath, what happens next? Saul puts him over, a captain over thousands. He becomes a captain in the army. Over thousands. So when you're talking about over thousands, you're talking about he's not just a squad leader. He's doing battalions. He's like your general. Okay, so he's taking care. He's got that. And so now there has to be a separation before him and Saul. And so as we were talking about, he wasn't even 20, but now he's got to be at least 20 years old, because to be in the army, you have to be 20 years old. Through circumstances, God's got to separate him and Saul. And as John himself says, I must decrease, he must increase. And this was happened to be done. So what happened? David went out, victory after victory after victory. And it got known, Saul has slain his thousands, and David's his 10,000s. Oh, things were looking good for David. It seems like, oh, everything was going good. The enemy is always being destroyed under my hand because God has prospered me in it. But that didn't work out always the way it was. When Saul saw the Spirit of God on David and that the Spirit had departed from him, he went about to kill him. And what did David end up being? A criminal, a vagabond. He was cast out because Saul was trying to kill him. So he had to flee from his life. He was actually an enemy of the state at the time. He was an enemy of the state. Did that thwart God's plan? Not at all. Not at all. God has a plan for this. So now everything was going good, and now it just seems like, Lord, why have you departed from me? Everything. He didn't go running around sitting there yelling in front of Saul saying, I'm your king. I'm going to replace you. No, he didn't do that. He behaved himself wisely. But God still has a plan. What actually starts happening is all the outcasts of Israel, the poor that were hurting, the people around him started gathering themselves around David. Now he's the chief of a new army. The downcast of Israel, the people that will be under your kingdom that you need to provide for. He sees the pains. He sees the hurts. That's why he could actually say that you do not see the godly begging for bread. Because in the righteous king, he was going to make sure everybody was fed. Now you can rejoice when David becomes king. Now David does not become king right away. It takes him quite a few years wandering the wilderness. He actually had a chance, several chances, in fact, that when Saul, King Saul, came after him to actually destroy him. He didn't. He said, I would not touch God's anointed. He was still anointed of God. That's not my call to take his life. God anointed him as king. God wants him out as king. God will take him out as king. That's not me to do that. I'm not going to take your job. I'm not going to take your job. It's not mine to take. And so often, I've seen this happen in other churches where somebody will come in and they all full of vinegar and think they can do everything better. I think I can sing better. I think I can preach better. I think I can play the piano better. Yeah, I know I can't. But anyhow, what I'm saying is, and they think that they can take over. And it's like, that is not your call. That's God's call. And that's important. We need to realize, we need to walk in his calling. So David was anointed king at the age of 37. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a trivia question. Who was the first king of Israel? First king of Israel? Saul. Who was the second king of Israel? No, my wife cannot answer. She's heard this message before. Anybody else know? No. A lot of people think David. It's Ishbosheth. He was one of Saul's sons. And so the house of Saul anointed Ishbosheth, king of Israel. And David was anointed king of Judah. It wasn't when he was anointed at 30 years, he 37. It wasn't until he reigned over Judah for 7.5 years before he was anointed king of Israel. So at the age of 30, he had 7.5 years of training before he got the whole nation. God has a plan, and he was training him every step of the way. And he has a plan for each one of us. And that's so important that we sometimes need to be that armor bearer. Learn how to be faithful to who you're bearing the armor for. Maybe you need to be playing the music. I mean, if you look, God actually put people in place with talents to be able to do certain things, to use your talents to the Lord. And David, as well as Solomon and many others, they hired praisers to praise the Lord. They hire people to play the shofar at certain times. That's part of their job in serving the Lord. And all this started with David being just a shepherd, just a little shepherd. Some people may see a shepherd boy. God may see a king. Where do you think God sees you? One of the plans we do at work is, where do you see yourself 10 years from now, 20 years from now? Doesn't matter where I see myself. Where does God see me at? Where does God see you at? And it all started with him being anointed. There was 3 anointings for David. The first one was anointed by Samuel. The second one, king of Judah. And the third one, the king of Israel. But it was only one that he received the Holy Spirit. And that was the first one by the prophet. That is your anointing for service. Not where you're at now. Not where I should say it is where you're at now. It's not where you're to be. The anointing is to get you to where you should be. But the thing is, the anointing is for you now. And that's the most important. And what is the anointing of God for? Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And that's what Jesus quoted in the New Testament. He stopped there because there's more to this. And it says, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's where Jesus stopped. And it says, and the day of vengeance of our God. That hasn't happened yet. That's coming. And to comfort all them that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and oil for joy in the morning. To appoint the beauty for ashes. Ain't that great? Oil of joy in the morning. Do you want joy in the morning? You know, his mercies are renewed every morning. Ain't that great? The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Why do we praise God? It lifts us up. Hallelujah. That they might be called the trees of the righteous, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. That is what the anointing is for. It's to serve others. It's to help others. It's not just to feel good. Oh, we love it when the Holy Spirit comes down and we seem so close to God and you got that fire burning in you. But the true anointing is to be able to use it to serve others. David was a shepherd, a valiant man of war, an armor bearer, servant of Saul, king of Judah, then king of Israel. And most of all, his kingdomship is the one that Yeshua came from. David was not a perfect man. He was an adulterer, a murderer, and he definitely would not be nominated Father of the Year if you've ever read some of his readings. But he is the one that was after God's old heart. Are you after his heart? Are you after his heart? The Bible says, the Lord talking to Israel, says, I know my plans for you, plans of good and for a future. He does have a plan for each and every one of us, and we need to walk in that. That was quoted for Israel, but it's also talked about that they were going to have to go through some things. When things are not working correctly, we need to thank God for those times. Say, Lord, I'm going to take opportunity in this. I don't know how my bills are going to be paid. I don't know how I'm going to get through this sickness sometimes. I don't know how to even minister to others when they're hurting sometimes. But God, I'm giving it to you. And I'm not going to take it back. We need you more than anything ever, Lord. We need you and to depend on you and to trust in you. Scripture says that all things work together in Romans 8:28 for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. The word called means invited. We do have to put feet to our faith. But we can do it in the Lord. And remember, we're never doing it by ourselves. We have the Holy Spirit, the finished work that Christ has done in us. He that began a good work in you will complete it. He will perform it till the day of Christ. It's really that simple. Just allow him to do the work. He began it. He will finish it. Leave it to him. I know it seems so hard sometimes when things aren't going right. But no matter what the circumstances is, he will see you through because he is faithful. Even when you're not faithful, the Bible says he is faithful. Father, we just thank you for your word. We pray that you rise up more Davids after your own heart, people like him. The finished work, Lord. You finished the work on this earth for our salvation, oh God. And we know that you'll see us through to the end, Lord. If you're listening to this on the internet and you don't know Christ and you may be going through some hard times, you may have heard this phrase so many times, but Jesus is the answer. He still loves you. He still cares for you. And he wants to help you out. He may not be the answer you're looking for in your circumstance at that time, because it may not be God will take you out in an instant and get rid of everything. And he has done that at times. He's done that in my life. But he will see you through it. He will give you the strength to bear those things. And you need to find God. You need to find somebody that really cares for you. Pastor talked about that in all these other religions. How many can people say that God cares for them? He does care for you. And the reason we go through some of these things at times is to strengthen our faith, to depend on him. I just pray right now that you would give your life to Christ. Find a church. Write us that we can pray for you. Have a support. We are family. We're part of the family of God, and we're here to help each other. We may not have all the resources to help finances, but we can also pray for them. You know, I've had some miracles in my own life through finances where I had no idea how we were going to pay some bills, and all of a sudden something happened. We've had testimonies today of things happening like that here, and God will see you through. And we'd like to help you and pray for you as well. And you may be a Christian and have not allowed the Lord to finish that work in your life because you went your own way. That's so good about God. What's so good about God is you can always repent and come back. Come back. I'm not going to say start back at the cross if you're saved. I want to say pick up the cross where you dropped it and start following the Lord. You know who you are. You know what you need to do. Don't give up. God never gave up on you. He'll never give up on you. Don't give up on him. Lord, we just thank you for this word, Lord. We thank you for the people listening. We just give you glory and just thank you, Lord, that you're going, that you that began a good work in us will complete it. And we know what the completed work looks like because the scripture says that when we see him, we will be like him. Hallelujah. And that we will be in the family of God all together, praising you in the rapture when you gather your children home. And we look forward to that time, and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.